Today's psalm is Psalm 86, verses 11 to 17. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I will thank you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and glorify your name forevermore. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the pit of death. The arrogant rise up against me, O God, and a band of violent people seeks my life. They have not set you before their eyes. But you, O Lord, are gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and full of kindness and truth. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the child of your handmaid. Show me a sign of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. The second reading is from Romans 8, verses 12 to 25, a reading from Romans. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but the will of one who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30 and 36 to 43. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves replied to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first, and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them, he is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The Gospel of our Lord. I was weeding my garden this week, and it's coming along really nicely after the bit of rain that we had last week. And I was weeding around my beet plants, and I was trying to be really careful because I did not want to disturb them. So I'm weeding along, and I see this weed right by some of my beets. And the beets are like at that really tiny, perfect stage. They're golden, and they're round and looking great. And I thought to myself, you know what, Leanne, if I'm really careful, I can pull this weed out with disturbing the beets that are growing so close. So I pulled, and out came the weed, and out came the beet plants. I was frustrated, but also laughed to myself, knowing that I was in actuality living out our gospel reading this morning. It appears that we are continuing with the gardening theme in the Gospel of Matthew again this week. Last week we read about seeds and good soil, and this week we read about seeds again. This time it is good seed and weed seed. I find it sort of amusing that Jesus is using parables involving gardening and farming to explain the kingdom of God to a bunch of fishermen. Couldn't he have come up with a fishing parable that the disciples may have better understood? But I'm thinking that Jesus probably did this on purpose, because, well, that is just what Jesus does. He turns the world, he turns our world upside down, and he uses parables as allegories, meaning a story with a hidden meaning that teaches us something about the kingdom of God. The author of the Gospel of Matthew speaks much to the conflict that takes place within the kingdom of God. He talks of sending his sheep out into the midst of wolves in Matthew 10, verse 16. And the 10 bridesmaids who had their oil lamps and were waiting for the bridegroom to appear in Matthew 25. The writer is speaking to the evil that is present, not so much as to why there is evil in the world, but more so of what we do when we experience evil in the world. So let us delve into this parable a little bit more. A farmer sows his field with wheat seeds, looking forward to a bountiful crop that would provide for both his animals and his family. During the cover of darkness and night, a thief appears, the enemy, evil, who sows weed seeds amongst the wheat. The wheat begins to grow, but so do the weeds. The workers want to remove the weeds right away because, well, it would be the easiest thing to do and it would take care of the problem once and for all. But as we know, Jesus does not think that way. Jesus once again turns our world upside down. The farmer tells the workers to leave the weeds in the field so as not to disturb the wheat, so that it may grow and flourish. If they pull out the weeds too soon, the wheat will be removed as well, just like my poor beet plants. But is there another reason to leave the weeds? What does this parable teach us about the kingdom of God? David Lowe suggests that the parable of the weeds speaks to ambiguity. It speaks to uncertainty and the choices that are made in our lives. It speaks of our need to have to wait and the need to relinquish control. These are all things that we as humans find hard to do. At least, I find hard to do. Think of the last 4 months of the COVID-19 pandemic. We have all had to live with uncertainty of not knowing what the next month will be like, let alone the next year. We have had to live with waiting and with choices. Do we go out or do we stay inside where it is safe? Do we sit on the patio or do we actually go into the restaurant to eat a meal? Or do we continue to order takeout? Do we wear a mask or don't we? So many choices. Our parable today has been used throughout history to promote exclusion or an us versus them mentality. If we just get rid of the them, it will be just us. We see and hear of this exclusion being played out in society far too often. We far too often judge one another, forgetting about loving our neighbor and forgiving one another. All throughout our lives, there are choices we must make. Do we take the job that is safe and stable, or do we risk the unknown and reap the reward? Or what about this? You have just been diagnosed with a severe illness, and there are two different choices of treatment, one that offers quality of life, the other that offers quantity of life. Which do you choose? Or perhaps you've just been offered your dream job, lots of money, but it will take you away from your family for longer periods of time. What do you choose? Choices are never easy, and that is what Jesus is speaking about in today's parable. The farmer, well, he made a choice to leave the weeds in the field, to let the weeds and the wheat mingle and intertwine together. The workers had to wait and let God sort it out. And that is what God asks of us as well, because so often we think we know what is best and that we can do things on our own. I thought I could pull that weed plant. I thought that I wouldn't disturb the beets. Jesus is asking us to let go of our judgment and control. He's asking us to let God in and to let God guide us in our choices. Jesus is asking us to trust in God and to be steadfast in the knowledge that God walks with us in the choices we make, offering hope and unconditional love. Our choices may not always be the correct one. We are perfectly imperfect, as you so often hear me say each and every week. And sometimes there is no correct choice. We all know that life can sometimes be really hard. But in our New Testament reading from Romans this morning, Paul invites us to live into that trust, that hope, and that promise of God in the groaning of our lives, in the choices that we make. So let us be like the workers in the field. Let us let go and let God. Let us just wait for the weeds to grow. Let us trust in the wondrous power of the Holy Spirit. Let us not judge one another. Let us love one another as we are loved. Let us live with the uncertainty and the ambiguity, knowing that there is certainty in the power, promise, and unconditional love of God through Jesus Christ. I would like to end today with a prayer written by David Lose. I think it sums up what we may be feeling trying to understand this parable this morning. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our lives are colored by ambiguity, and we don't always know the right or best thing to do. But we do know that your love is guiding us, and that you have called us to live as your people in the world. When we face hard choices, give us eyes to see the best path forward, and the courage to follow it. When we make mistakes, forgive us. When we are hurt by our choices, comfort us. When we hurt others, help us to reach out to them in love. And above and beyond all these decisions, remind us that you still love us and call us back to this place that we may be forgiven, renewed, called, and sent forth once more as your beloved children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I replanted my beets and I gave them some water. I checked on them yesterday and they seem to be no worse for wear. From now on, if there's a weed too close, I will wait and I will not disturb the plants around it. I will let them intertwine and mingle with one another, and I will give thanks for the opportunity to share in God's wondrous creation and the opportunity to share in the kingdom of God. Let it be so. Amen. Our hymn of the day is Almighty God, Your Word is Cast, and it is ELW number 561. And there is also a YouTube link.